of people getting out of their cars this weekend. What a nice weekend. Enjoying the outdoors, that's for sure. Temperatures staying mild throughout the week, and certainly how we find ourselves this morning. Evan Bray, great to have you here. Another beautiful and mild start to our work week. I hope you had a great weekend. It was a busy one. Lots going on. We talked about the football in Moose Jaw, the curling in Melville, the basketball in Saskatoon, that big gun collector show at the Turvey Center in Regina. It was busy. There was a lot going on, and I hope your weekend was productive, and I'm so glad to have you here this morning. Lots to talk about, as there almost always is. Mark Carney headed to China tomorrow. He'll be there for the better part of the week working on rebuilding that relationship to assist with trade, I guess, if nothing else. I would suggest there's probably lots of different avenues they will be looking at things. Some pushing back to say we should do everything we can to avoid trade with China. Many leaders, including our premier, saying the exact opposite. We've got a guest coming up. We'll talk a bit about that with him, and then we'll get your thoughts on open lines. Speaking of open lines, I can't even count the number of conversations I had in person and on text over the weekend with friends of mine about the CFIA traceability rules for livestock. It's created quite a stir. Helpful or government overreach? Most people I talk to are falling on the side of government overreach. I would like to get your thoughts on that. Speaking of cattle, cattle theft is a problem. I mean, you think about the Wild West, cattle rustling was a thing. Well, it's not really gone away. In fact, with beef prices what they are today, it continues to be a problem. The RCMP have created a position to deal with this issue. I've got three great guests joining me today on the Roundtable of Justice at 10 o'clock. We'll talk about cattle theft. And speaking of animals, this time more pesky animals. The number of stories I've heard from people about mice being caught in garage and sheds, a couple in houses. It's a good time to bring our friend Sean Sherwood in of Poulin Pest Control, talk about the issues that they are battling in the province. And as always, we'll open up the lines to get your questions. Okay, let's get going with today's big talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome.
Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show, the big talker.
Well, trade continues to be front and center for Canada right now. I mentioned Prime Minister Mark Carney headed to China this week on a trade mission aimed at strengthening economic ties and opening maybe, I don't know if it's new markets or renewing the commitment for trade. This trip comes out what I would call a critical moment for Canadian exporters. Global supply chains remain strained. Access to international markets shaped by geopolitics. And of course, our producers in this province are directly affected by that. Someone that can always give us good insight as to what the trade situation looks like, especially when it comes to Saskatchewan crops, is our friend Murad Al-Khatib. He's president, CEO, and board member of AGT Food and Ingredients. And Murad joins us by phone from his office in Regina. Murad, thanks for taking the call.
Well, thanks for having me, Evan.
Good to have you here. So I just mentioned Mark Carney, our prime minister, is headed over to China this week. What are your thoughts? What does a successful China trade mission look like from your perspective?
Well, you know, I think that this, Evan, is a continued progression of the your efforts to try and resolve these issues. Now, you know, back, you know, about maybe 4 or 5 months ago, you know, a commodity group, myself and a number of others involved in the canola industry, you know, very, very interesting, Evan, first time a sitting Canadian prime minister had met face-to-face with a commodity group when we went to Ottawa to sit down with the prime minister to talk about China. So that's the first time in, I think, 15 years. So, you know, it's quite crazy if you think about it that that kind of dialogue isn't happening. But, you know, it's very apparent to me in that face-to-face meeting that the prime minister understood that a resolution of the agricultural trade issues was essential. You know, the retaliatory nature of the tariff, you know, related to electric vehicles that we put on in kind of pressure from the United States is certainly hurting producers. And I think that, you know, the progression we've seen over the last 3 months of kind of ministerial discussions on the side of international meetings, it's now time to go do that face-to-face. And so, you know, very encouraged that the prime minister is doing that.
Can you take us inside the meeting a bit, Murad? Was there a direct ask by your group, or was it simply do what you can to get rid of these tariffs?
Well, you know, again, we get to see inside these meetings. Scott Moe and the business group went face to face on the Tuesday after the premier arrived back from China. And so, you know, the premier went to China, got the call on Wednesday or Thursday of that week when the premier got back. And there we were on the plane to Ottawa on the Tuesday morning to sit down with the prime minister. So, the insight was, the prime minister understood the issue. One of his, undersecretaries was sent on the mission with the premier. And, there's a strong recognition that Saskatchewan has carried the torch here. It's now time, though. I mean, a resolution of this thing is not going to happen from the provincial level. The premier's done a great job of continuing to keep that dialogue. But, I'm encouraged by the prime minister traveling. We understand that these tariffs on canola, peas, and pork are at the top of the prime minister's agenda. And, again, virtual meetings aren't going to get this solved, Evan. Face-to-face is important. We understand there's meetings with President Xi, the premier in China as well. So, from that perspective, the focus on not only trade expansion, but trade resolution is essential for us in this province.
Give us a sense, Murad, of how critical this is. I know we chatted with you a few months back, and you talked about how the industry is used to navigating geopolitics. But, I mean, after a while, this has to be taking its toll. Can you give us a sense of where it's at now?
Well, I think that, we have to recognize one thing, that, a future, less reliance on the U.S. market, in terms of where we're trading our growth, China and India are essential economic superpower relationships that Canada needs to develop. So, those are the three big elephants, in the jungle of the world, is the U.S., China, and India. Now, the fact that, this is the first time in 8 years that a Canadian prime minister has traveled to China shows you the coolness of the relationship. And it is essential for us to have that. I mean, when we look at that target of $300 billion of trade outside of the U.S. market, within the next decade, China becomes one big part of that. You just can't ignore the populations, Evan. China, 1.2 billion, and India, which is going to cross that over to close to 1.3 billion people. So even these niche markets in those countries are large. They're larger than countries themselves and essential for the things that we produce here in Saskatchewan.
Murad Al-Khatib is my guest, president, CEO, board member, AGT Food and Ingredients. So this kind of lends itself, what you just said, Murad, to this notion of, do we need China as a trade partner? A lot of people will point to they're one of the leaders when it comes to foreign interference politically in Canada. Lots of challenges that we've had over the years. However, a recent Ipsos poll that was done showed 54% of Canadians expressed support for closer trade ties to China. I know our premier has talked about that. I get the impression from what you just said, we can't ignore China as a necessity when it comes to trade.
I mean, Evan, it's just too big. Again, when we look at that large trade relationship and the magnitude and size of the market, and we look at the fact that, we are such a blessed endowment of natural resources, we can't ignore the population centers. It just takes too many other markets to replace the market demand that could come from China. Now, that being said, I don't think that we should also become overly reliant only on China. I certainly don't think that that's better than our reliance on the U.S. market. So, again, I do feel that the trade diversification initiatives have to follow a geopolitical strategy. So trade policy, market access, geopolitical alignment. I think that friends are going to trade more with friends in the future, which gets us more into Europe, Southeast Asia, Indonesia, Thailand, Malaysia, the Philippines, and India as much bigger priorities for me than China. But ignoring China would be a fatal error for our economy.
So, Murad, when you talk about those other markets and enhancing our relationship and ultimately increasing the amount of trade, does that then become we're reducing our liability on these other countries like China, like the U.S., or is it a market for increased productivity and ultimately benefit for Canada?
Well, Evan, that's where people do get off on the wrong foot. They say, I want to trade less with the United States. We're not going to trade less with the United States. We want to trade more with the United States. We want to trade more of our growth, though, with other nations, so that as we look at how the economy grows, over time. I mean, you know, I said that last time I was on your segment. It took us 50 years to become this reliant on the U.S. market. We're not going to become less reliant in less than 10 years. And so, you know, again, I like balance. And so you want to take the large economic relationships like the U.S., China, India, and then you want to build on a whole bunch of other relationships that kind of form like a fourth leg to a stool. So those three countries are, you know, legs, and the other leg is the diversification, you know, rifle and scope approach of where do we have a competitive advantage and where are we going to have long-term sustainable trade.
Murad, just a couple quick things before we wrap up. We talk a lot recently about infrastructure when it comes to oil, this talk of a new pipeline from Alberta to the West Coast. How is infrastructure when it comes to your business, grains, and getting those commodities to market?
You know, Evan, it's an integrated supply chain, right? So you can't look at one commodity or one thing and think of it in isolation. Until this nation gets, you know, oil in pipes and, you know, dry, safe bulk commodities that belong on rail, and that capacity is not being optimized, we won't have a properly functioning trade infrastructure. Now, the long-term future is a multimodal strategy for this country. Intermodal containers plus a bulk supply chain that goes to bulk vessels. So as we do more value added, Evan, we need more containers and more intermodal. That's, you know, like the intermobile ramp here in Regina or the CN and CP ramps, you know, in Saskatoon or the Global Transportation Hub. You know, those are also essential elements of the infrastructure. Government's putting a focus on it though, Evan. I like the fact that they've replenished the infrastructure funding. And, you know, I think that there's private sector collaboration of looking at the bottlenecks that can get us more capacity. But it's a long-term game, Evan. We need to plan for 10, 20, and 30 years, not for 10, 20, and 30 months.
I'm wondering, Murad, if we can just touch on this quickly. Last time you were on, we touched about AGT actually had food trucks, humanitarian food aid going into Gaza. In fact, your trucks were some of the first that were on scene there. As we see geopolitics, wars, those types of things in the world, they're not going away. In fact, I would suggest they're ramping up. Does that open up opportunities for food aid?
Yeah, Evan, unfortunately for the world and, you know, but fortunately, I think for Saskatchewan producers, you know, geopolitical conflicts, you know, are going to lead to more and more food security and food stability programs. So, you know, again, we've already been mobilized. We're now doing pricing and getting ready for a large program in Venezuela. And, you know, again, there will be a good opportunity for Canada as a result of the transit time, which is very quick to Venezuela, let's say off of the east coast of Canada. So, you know, food aid is essential. It provides an outlet for our farmers to have more and more penetration. Gaza, Venezuela, and Sudan are high on our minds right now. And ultimately, I think there's going to be a very material opportunity for Saskatchewan producers to feed into those United Nations programs. So we're on it, Evan, and we're going to make sure we bring those opportunities, you know, to our province.
Always enjoy our chats, Murad. Thanks for making time for me this morning.
Thanks, Evan.
Murad Al-Khatib, President, CEO, Board Member with AGT Food and Ingredients, a Saskatchewan-based company that, like many producers in this province, will be watching closely how the talks go between Prime Minister Mark Carney and the Chinese President this week. We'll take a break. We'll be right back here on 650 CKOM, 980 CJME.